last week about owing no man anything but love. And love, as we've mentioned before, is doing good to the beloved, regardless of the cost to you. And we talked last week about the law being that which shows us what love looks like. And so as we go through our lives and we look at God's law and we try and determine how to make love real in our day-to-day life, we consult the law and try and find principles and commands and challenges and other things that are in the law that teach us how to love. Now again, that means there are two things that we need to always keep in view. And one is the state of our heart. Is our heart centered in self, or is our heart centered in others? And the second thing we need to look at is our relationship and how we view the law. Do we see the law as a binding situation of things that we need to do? Or are we, as Paul talks about, free from the law as a law? And as you put those two things together, and Paul puts those two things together, he comes up with four different kinds of Christians. Now, nobody is fully one or the other. This is sort of a spectrum. And some people have a more tendency towards one and the other in certain areas. And the reason this is important is because chapter 14 of Romans deals with the topic of doubtful things. Those are those things sort of gray. You know, we like to make life totally black and white. You know, it's either right or it's wrong. But life is a lot more difficult than that. There are things that are totally right, that the law makes totally clear. There are things that are wrong, that the law makes totally clear or wrong. And then there are a bunch of things which we have to think about, and we have to pray about, and we have to ask the Holy Spirit's guidance on, and then we have to make our decision. Things like styles of music and kinds of food we're going to eat and what kind of clothes we're going to wear and what we're going to do in certain situations. Can I see an R-rated movie? You know, a lot of Christians say, no, never. But Passion of the Christ was rated R because of the violence. You know, so you have all these little things that come into your life, and the law has nothing to say about R-rated movies simply because there weren't any movies in those days. And the Hebrew letter is called something else other than R. And so you have all these different areas of doubtful things. And you have to decide them on scriptural principles. And Paul's going to be talking about those. But he's going to also be dealing with four different kinds of people and the way they look at the law and at love. And so today, before we go into chapter 14, we're going to look at these four kinds of people. And you are one of these four in the main. Though you may go back and forth in some areas, you will find yourself in these. Remember that Scripture is a mirror, and you're supposed to see yourself in that mirror. Now, Romans 14 deals with two of these types extensively. But you need to know how these people are and what the Bible says about them and how the church is to react to each kind, because if you react incorrectly, you're going to cause even more confusion. So this is a long and sort of not original message. It's more a message, more of a class. But let's get started, students, and let's look at four different kinds of Christians. And the first is the kind we all should want to be, and that's a strong spiritual believer. A strong spiritual believer is a Christian, first of all, who has his heart towards God. Okay, he is the one who delights in the law of the Lord. He's the one who says, you know, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's the one that realizes that there's nothing more important in his life than loving and knowing God. He's the one that understands that that's what everlasting life is. Here is everlasting life, John 17:3, that you may know God and know the Son. His key is a relationship of love with God. Now, when it comes to this strong believer, he has a relationship to the law. And towards the law, Paul says, he's free. Galatians 5:1 talks about that. Galatians 5, talking to the spiritual believer, says we're free from the law. Now, again, as I mentioned last week, that does not mean that the law has nothing to say to us. The law tells us what love looks like. But we are free. It says, stand fast, verse 1, therefore the liberty for which Christ has set you, made you free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now that's what a strong Christian is towards law. I'm going to give you four things for each of these. What he is towards the law, what he is towards himself, what he is, his influence on others, and how the church is to deal with this kind of person. So the spiritual believer sees himself not bound by the law. Towards self, he voluntarily limits his freedom. He says, like Paul says in 1 Corinthians, all things are lawful to me, verse 12, but not things are expedient. There are things I could do which I choose not to do because they stop me from growing. If you're in sports, you know how this would work. Let's say you're a runner, or like Lisanne, played volleyball. Now, let's say you have a track meet or a volleyball tournament, and you're going and you say, all right, we're going to do this. Let's say it's beach volleyball, where it's not really a team thing so much. You say, okay, we're going to do it, but instead of wearing my uniform, I'm going to wear a business suit. Now, could you play beach volleyball in a business suit? Sure. Of course you can. Could you run the 400 in a business suit?
No.
Yeah, you can. You can run it. You can get out on the track with these shoes and a coat and a tie, and you can run the 400. You might dehydrate by 300 in this weather. And you're definitely going to be slow, but it's lawful to run the 400 in a business suit. It's just not expedient. And that's how the spiritual believer looks at the law. He's not so much trying to figure, am I going to break a command? Am I going to keep a command? What he's trying to say is, what helps me forward? So towards the law, he's free, but he limits his freedom. Yeah, I love my business suit, but today I'm running the 400. I'll take it off. And so we need to see what a spiritual person does. A spiritual person is not so concerned with freedom as he is with love, with growing. So I have the freedom, but now I need to use it with love one towards another. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, Paul says this. He says, for you brethren have been called to liberty, but do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. See, we as Christians, as strong believers, we have this desire. We should have this desire, not for our own holiness and self-righteousness, but we need to realize that I grow as I help you grow. That if I love, if I don't love, it profits me nothing. Even if I keep the law to the T. So a spiritual Christian's influence on others will be to restore them. Continuing in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. This is the kind of believer we all should aspire to be. We are not bound by the law. We know we have the freedom to do just about anything that we want. It's all lawful to us. But we limit our freedom because my rights can destroy you. My freedom could hurt you. Therefore, I choose voluntarily, not because someone tells me, I choose voluntarily to look to you and my goal is to restore you, to bring you up, to build you. And not from a self-righteous look, well, I'm up here, I'm spiritual, you down there, you carnal. You better get up here where I am. It says, consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, I will say this. That's the goal for all of us. I don't think many of us meet it, except on our best days. But that's where we should be. And that's what Paul calls us to. And that's what God calls us to. Christian, I want us to talk. Well, first I want to talk to the church about the church's response. Paul says that the church in Philippians 3:17 should mark those people, note those people, and follow them. You find that kind of a person, if you're in a church, you mark them and you watch what they do and you say, how can I become like them? And you say, I want to be like the old Michael Jordan. I want to be like Mike. You know, you just go and you follow, you imitate. Like Paul says, follow me, imitate me as I imitate Christ. We should be looking at people in our church and in the Christian community who are spiritual, who we see live this life of love, and we ought to say, what are they doing that I can do? You find a person like that, you follow. Second kind of believer, second kind of Christian, is a carnal, worldly Christian. Now he's saved, he's trusted Christ as his Savior, but his heart is not set towards God, his heart is set towards me. And that makes all the difference because he comes to the same law and he's still free. Regarding the law, he understands that truth. When he heard, you're no longer under the law, what he did is say, oh, yippee! I was sinking deep in sin. Whee! You know. He takes that law, which is meant to show him how to love, but also can be binding, and he says, okay, I'm free. I'm just throwing the thing out. I'm going to live like I want to live. I'm going to do what I want. And in the early church, there were some. There was one in 1 Corinthians 5 that says, oh, yeah, forget not commit adultery. I'm going to get my father's wife. I'm free. I'm not under the law. Forget incest. Forget adultery. Oh, it's just all law. I'm free. All things are lawful for me. He forgot the second part, didn't he? All things are not acceptable. And so, he's free to the law, but regards himself, instead of being reaching out towards others, heart towards others, like the first spiritual Christian, he has his heart set on himself. He's got lack of love, and so he, going back to Galatians 5:13, he says, I've got liberty, and he uses it as license. He says, God freed me from the law, therefore I can do what I want, and he tries as hard as he can. How many of you know Christians like that? Unfortunately, Christians like that are ruining the reputation of the church. And let me be honest, how many of us have been Christians like that at a time? Where you say, you know, God, I'm free from the law. You're not going to cast me to hell. You promised. I trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm saved. Therefore, I'm going to grab all the gusto I can get. Now, God deals with those people. We're not going to talk today about church discipline. God is good at dealing with those people. But there is no end of people who try it. You know, and they are for all sorts of things. You know, Christians are free to do just about anything they want. They don't care about how it affects others. And that's the problem. See, with these people, their influence leads others astray. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, when we're talking about the man who had his father's wife, he says that the church of Corinth had been led astray by this person. They were okay with it. They were fitting it in with their worldview. They made it fit, and all of a sudden the whole church is saying, yeah, this is fine. How much of that is happening today, for instance, in the issue of gay marriage? I'm a Christian. I'm free from the law. All those texts are Old Testament. I don't have to deal with those. We can get married. I love it. And the church says, yeah, well, you know, let's. It makes sense. It does if you don't look at the law as the way love is shown. Oh, but they love each other so much. No, they are looking towards self. And they lead people astray. Now, these kind of Christians, unfortunately, today are tolerated in most churches. They can come, they can go. They live their sinful lives and everybody comes, yeah, high hugs and all the rest. But the Bible says that these people are to be disciplined in Matthew 18, and if they don't follow through on the discipline, the church is to count them as an unbeliever. In fact, it's even stronger than that. Paul in 1 Corinthians 5, talking about the man that we've talked about, in verse 7 and verse 11, he says, I cast him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. That's pretty strong. You go to the devil. Let the devil deal with you. Let the roaring lion have a few bites out of your hide, that your spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Our churches today have forgotten how to... So we don't want to offend them. They might not come back. Even worse, they might go to the other church, them and their tithe. So, no, we'll just sort of, look the other way. That you're taking the law, which is meant to show you how to love, and you're just throwing it out of you because you don't love. You're all centered on yourself, on how you feel, on how you are. You are a carnal, fleshly, worldly Christian. And by worldly, I mean, remember what the world is? It's the center, it's that which is centered on self. And those are the ones we usually call worldly. That's a worldly person. He's into all these things, or she's into all these things. But there's a third. This is probably the most of all. In fact, the way Scripture deals with them is the most dangerous. Because most of you know, if you see a really worldly Christian, you know, some people are led astray. The church may try and be led astray. But most people know that they're wrong when they do that. But the third type of Christian that we have to deal with are the religious worldly Christians. And they also have a heart towards self, except their self-fulfillment is not found in running into sin. Their self-fulfillment is found by making themselves look righteous. And so they are legalists. They're bound by the law. They want everything to be law. The kind of music you listen to and the hats you wear and this and that. The tattoos you have and this and that. And everything has a regulation. Everything has a place. And there are always regulations that they're following. You know, you see these, the guy gets up there and he hasn't got a tattoo. So tattoos are wrong. And he doesn't listen to Metallica. So Metallica's wrong. You know, and he's thin, so fat people are wrong. If he's not thin, then that one doesn't apply. You ever noticed? Legalists pick the laws that they're following to throw on everybody else. Because the whole thing about law this way is to follow the law to build your own righteousness, to be the, I thank you, God, that I'm not like that publican. So they're bound by the law. And they bind everyone else by the law. Regard to the law, then they're bound. They're stuck with it. Everything is by the law. Colossians 2:20 calls it the rudiments of the word not, taste not, handle not. I don't eat, I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't cuss, I don't go to movies, I don't have a TV. I don't listen to any music newer than 1923. And if it's got a guitar, it's of the devil. Don't you know that David played the piano? And so they go with this, it's just so tight. And to make themselves look right, let's say they like the guitar. I heard of one church in Mexico where there was no, they wanted accompaniment, but there was no piano. And someone played the guitar, but the guitar was an unholy instrument. And they had a door like this one on the side of our church. And so what they would do is they would open the door and they would put the guitar player out here. And he would play outside because he can't come in the church with his guitar. He would play outside in the heat and everybody else would praise in the church to the sound of the guitar that was coming through the open door. So this is where it can go to. These are the extremes that this kind of thing can go to. And what it is they want to show themselves, as it says at the end of Colossians 2, I've got a will towards self-denial. I deny myself. I can make myself righteous. I cannot do this and not do that and not do the other. I can do these. I fast 4 times a week and I do all these things. And they forget Isaiah 64:6. It says that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And they want not only to do that, but because they want you to consider them righteous, they want you under the standard. So they make the standard for all. And if you're in their churches, you've got to do this and you've got to do that and you've got to follow the letter of the law because pastor, who's God's anointed, says so. And the influence they have on others, Paul says, is first they despise those who aren't following. It's not a heart of, let me restore you. It's not a heart of, let me lift you up. It's, get out of my face, you ugly sinner. And they try and bind you to the same law. Paul talked to the Pharisees. He says, you will cross heaven. I mean, Christ talked to the Pharisees. He said, you will cross heaven and earth to make one proselyte, and you make him twice the son of hell you are. They just want to put another notch of someone who's following this path of mine under their belt. And don't change churches. Don't go anywhere else. And I better be able to follow you. I'm going to check on how much you tithe and I'm going to watch what you do in your house and I want to know what TV programs you watch and I want to know what you eat and I want to know where you sleep and who you're going with and what you're doing and if you have a Bible study in your house, I better know exactly what's being preached. But they're carnal. Their heart is self. Their heart is, look at how holy I am. And you know, they look holy. The Pharisees looked holy. They were doing all the right things. They were following. Paul said, as a Pharisee, he, according to the law, was blameless. And yet when he came to Christ, he considered it rubbish. Now, Paul is stronger towards these people than he is towards any other believers. He says to Timothy, or to Titus, I mean, in Titus 3:10, he says, after one or two admonitions, you reject them. He says in Galatians, you don't give these legalists a minute. Don't give them your time. They don't deserve it. They're not preaching the love of Christ. And the fourth kind of Christian is a weak Christian. And now a weak Christian has a heart for God. A weak Christian loves God. A weak Christian wants to follow God, but a weak Christian is weak. That's what it says. That's what it means. And towards the law, he's bound. He follows this law slavishly because, as we read in the end of Romans chapter 14 today, he doesn't have the faith to step out. The legalist follows the law because he wants to be self-righteous. The weak person follows the law Because to him, it's a safe place to be. He's like a kid, you know. I'm going to stay on the sidewalk. I'm going to just, you know, he has not enough strength to step out from what's comfortable. He's weak. The trouble is, because of that weakness, he doesn't have any conviction in himself. You know, he doesn't look at the things as if, you know, I can step out on faith and claim what God has. He stands back. He's timid. He doesn't know where to go. Because of that, his influence on us is minimal. He's a follower. And because he's a follower, he's vulnerable. Because if he sees you as a spiritual Christian doing something that doesn't quite fit his convictions, he may be tempted to do that thing even though he feels it's wrong. So he feels in his following the law that eating a certain meat or worshiping on a certain day is wrong. But he sees you, who he understands are a spiritual Christian, doing such things. And so even though he feels it's wrong, he follows and he sins. Not because the thing is sinful, but because, as we read in the end of Romans 14, it says, "But he who doubts is condemned as he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whoever is not of faith is..." Whatever is not of faith is sin. Let's say you are a believer that comes out of a Jewish background or out of a Muslim background, and you think it's wrong to eat pork. And I'm a spiritual Christian, and I take you to a restaurant for breakfast after prayer meeting, and we go up to Jafecitos, and I order a taco de bacon and eggs, and I'm the pastor. And you are this new Jewish believer, this new ex-Muslim believer, and the pastor's eating bacon. And then I say, "Yeah, have some, it's okay." But you are weak and you feel it's wrong and you don't have the faith. And you know what Paul says here? If you eat it, you sin. Caused you to sin. Now, here's the trouble, and this is what we're going to get into in dealing with doubtful things. There's a lot of stuff that goes on that talks about not making people stumble. And usually, we don't distinguish when we're talking about that. Paul is talking about the weak, this weak believer. He's not talking about legalists. If you're with a legalist, Paul says, you don't have to worry about that. A legalist is not a weak Christian. A legalist is a self-righteous Christian who thinks he's right and is going to push it as a leader. Paul says, don't give them the time of day for it. But if the believer is weak, you've got to consider his conscience. And as we deal with doubtful things, this distinction is going to be very important, because a lot of the people who will judge you and limit your liberty are not weak Christians, they're legalists. And you deal with each one differently. See, a weak Christian, you receive and build up. You defer to. You limit your liberty as a spiritual one. You restore. A legalist, you fight. And you've got to determine who's who. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we pray that we would be wise in deciding who is where and what. That, Lord, we would be discerning in how we deal with each of these kinds of believers. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.